And so as life goes on, we can see that this field now has some different characteristics. It has a fence on one side. It has some houses along it. And as I grew up, I'll just tell you how it is for this farmer. We have some farms at Grandpa's place that are pretty easy to take care of. It has a creek in the back, a fence, and Grandpa was a nice guy to farm around. I mean, for years we farmed with Grandpa, and it was great. It wasn't hard. But we have some fields out toward town where there's a housing division, and you see those houses along the edge there? There's people living there. And you see, there's some natural things. Like, so there's a fence along the side here. That's pretty natural. You also see that there's some grass and some trees growing up there in that fence row. So what I want to say about this is that as we live in the kingdom of God, there's maintenance. We don't only get into God's kingdom, but there's maintenance as we go along. You have to understand the soil. I mentioned a little bit of that last night. So as I begin to know this place, I understand some of the properties of the soil. But there are always things that are coming in and taking away the productivity. I'm hoping yet this week to talk about the abundant life in Christ. And this is, you know, I could be satisfied with just being a farmer and just farming the areas that are possible to be farmed. But as I farm up against this fence, here's what happens. This grass grows up, and then there's a mulberry tree that starts, and it's only this big the first year. And pretty soon it's this big, and then it has branches that reach out, and they scratch my tractor. And you might say it's a red tractor, it doesn't matter. But I don't like red tractors to get scratched either. But what does it matter if I lose 4 feet by the fence row? It's just kind of a natural thing, you know, if you don't trim it, if you don't cut the trees out. And the same is true in my personal walk with God. I can just be in the kingdom of God and just kind of be glad I'm in the kingdom, you know, and take care of the areas that I have. Or do I want to be the best kingdom worker that Jesus has? So I will look and I will take care and trim back this fence row. Those are natural things. We can sometimes take those natural temptations, those things that are natural unto man. You know, there's a creek along here, and I don't have them drawn in here. Sometimes I draw groundhogs there. They can take care of a lot of beans in a short time. Those are things that are just natural, and we take care of them. There might be rocks in this field. I guess God put them there years ago, or some glacier. There might be things underground that we need to fix. Sometimes we put tile under there to drain the water to the creek to make it more productive. This is called spiritual growth in the kingdom of God. But we could look at them also as things that get under our skin. Things that really offend us and just nauseate us. It's so frustrating. You think of Adam and Eve, it says that they were put in the garden to dress and keep it. Now, as a young boy, I always thought that they were like in the park. They could just go out there and they could swing, they could do whatever they wanted to, they didn't have to work. But I think that God, it says to dress and to keep it. I think God gave them something to do. But I think it was exciting. As Adam and Eve had this relationship with God, they walked through the garden, and I don't know what they had to do. Did they have to pick some fruit? Did they have to trim some? I don't know. But I do know that today, if you have children, or even adults, who have nothing to do, they're not nearly as fulfilled as if they have something to do that blesses their Creator. And I think Adam and Eve had things to do in the garden that blessed their Creator, and they were also blessed by it. And as they looked, they said, "Wow, did you see this tree over here? I never noticed it before." And then that evening when God came down, they talked with God about it. This was part of living in the kingdom of God. So as we go through life, there are things that naturally come up that we need to take care of to continue on this. Now, I'm going to bring a few more things in. I don't know if you can understand that, what that is, but I have a specific field. Last year we had it planted. The corn was up about this tall. Pretty good stand, looked pretty good. And somebody came and just drove through that field when it was muddy. That's what those black marks are. They always throw bottles and trash out there from the road. Now, those things are not natural. Those come from some other human beings that know better. Those things are things that can come into my life and I can start to resent them. You know, I have to pick up their trash. I have to be productive. And as we go through life, we live in a sin-cursed world. We may have been born into a field or a place where our parents, where our surroundings were not perfect. Maybe they weren't even godly. And they affect who we are. What are we going to do with those things? You know, once we fall upon the rock of offense and we become broken and we enter into the kingdom of God, I think that's what Mary entered into the kingdom of God. But as she was blessed, as Jesus grew in her life, and as she watched him grow, but there were hurtful things that came in from neighbors, from religious people. Where did she go for sustenance or for her life? I believe the Bible teaches us that. Remember, as we go through the Beatitudes, first we get into the kingdom. But I believe as we begin to understand, you know, as a young boy, I'm not sure if I have it on the next slide or not. Yeah, right there. As a young boy, this one particular field, my brother and I own it now. We were renting it at the time. But along this house, you see there's a pipe laying there. Yeah, that long thing right there by underneath the track. That's supposed to be a pipe. There was this one particular place. It was the whole row of houses. And as we every year we would come there to work this field, they would throw this 20-foot pipe out in our field. And I would pick that pipe up and I would throw it back in their yard. And along with throwing that back in their yard, I got angry every time. And I had these thoughts toward those people. After I became born again and realized that I had to give up my rights to follow Christ, I don't know if it was the first year, but the second or third year, I got over there and I thought, now, I can throw this back in their yard. I don't know what they think when they throw it out in the field, but I know what I think when I throw it over there. I'm just going to take it home and get rid of it. And I did. I don't know whatever happened. There's also a pile of sticks there. They would always throw their sticks out in the field. And you know, after I took care of that pipe and those sticks, it seemed like a number of years after that, we really didn't have any trouble with that. But I could grow spiritually. I began to pray for those people in that house. You see, there's a difference in the way I relate to the world after I'm in the kingdom of God. I begin to see the needs of those people. You would think that's the end of it. I think it was last year, actually. Well, I don't have it on there. Last year, we planted everything. It was growing well, and I think I had even sprayed it once. And I went over there to look at the crops, and the corn was about this tall. And I saw, well, there's one corner of that property where we actually have an easement that goes 15 feet into the people's yard. And they know it, and they have a mini barn sitting on it. We don't want to farm it, but they stack stuff on there. They already have 15 feet of ours, but they always stack it out right to the edge and beyond. And so I took my skid loader and I pushed it all back in there. And I had a pretty good attitude, and I've talked to him before. Can you please move your stuff in there? So I had done that, moved it in, and we planted and everything was up. And I came out there And would you believe it? They had cut a tree down and let it fall into the field. To their credit, they had a sawhorse up where the tree landed on the sawhorse. It didn't hit the corn. I confess, I was a little irate. I walked over there and I looked at that in disbelief. And you know, but the man came out of the house, the neighbor's house, and then this young boy came out who now lives where his, originally his father lived there, now there's a son that lives there. I said, what is the purpose of this? He said, well, I meant to cut it and get it put away. I said, you know, you had all winter to cut it. Why would you cut it after my crop is up? Like, I said, are you going to cut the rest of the tree down? This was just one big limb. He said, well, I'm planning to. I said, you need to wait until next fall, and then you can cut it down and use my property. While I was talking to him, the next guy came over from the next house, and he shared with me. He said that he's a church-going man, and he moved out here specifically to help this young man on the corner. He said he has some, you know, he grew up in a rough home life. And, you know, I kind of repented. The thoughts that I had toward this young man, it's not the first altercation. And I'm not saying he did right, but God worked on me. And I said, well, can we clean this up and get it out of here? And he said, yeah, I'll help him. And he said, you know, I'm working with this guy. We're trying to help him get on his feet. You know, I can be angry. But you know who has to carry that load? I do. I can set that guy straight and make those trees go back where they belong. But my heart is the one that's affected. And the thing that I'm asking you is, what are the little things in your life that are taking away from your living fully for God? You know, we have to get into the kingdom. We have to surrender. But then it's a continued life of surrender. I will say this, that my attitude toward that neighborhood has changed. And I begin to pray for them. And I've developed some relationships with them that today, you know, there's another place where they have a swimming pool. And I never could figure out why a big area would die in my field. And finally, my agronomist said, well, I can tell you, they empty their swimming pool. They put a hose out there and they empty it in your field every year. And it kills the corn. Oh, okay. So I talked to them. I said, could you please not do that? And, you know, you might say, well, what's a 15-foot spot, you tightwad farmer. And that's true. But how is it in our relationships within the brotherhood? Am I willing to extend mercy where mercy hasn't been extended to me? What's keeping me? When I was a young man, my mom had a purse. I was going to bring a purse along and show you how this worked, but she had a purse, and I don't remember what color it was, what it looked like, but it kept getting heavier. And she thought, boy, this purse just isn't as nice as it used to be. And so one of my aunts was there, and they went garage sailing, and she got a new purse. And in the process of emptying this old purse, she discovered that there was a hole in the lining. And all her change was going into the lining, the outside of this purse. And I think there was $12 or $15 worth in there. Well, that adds up to quite a bit. Now, what does that have to do with Christian life? So often, very subtly, we allow little things to get into our lining. Just like this farmer. You know, it takes perseverance. That fence row needs to be trimmed back at least every couple years, or you're going to lose ground. We have to make sure that we get those stumbling blocks out of our life. We have to forgive. Love to preach a message on forgiveness. It is so powerful. Jesus says if we can't forgive others, we can't be forgiven. You know, if we can't look at our brother and our sister and say, you know, this is one thing. This is outside the church, this farm application. Those are unbelievers. The Scripture teaches us that there are a number of kinds of offenses. Jesus is a rock of offense. It offends our carnal nature. And yet that very truth is what brings us into the kingdom. But then we as Christians are called to be light and salt to the world. What kind of light are we bringing to them? You know, my life farming is just something carnal here on this earth. But if I live in the kingdom of God, my perspective is to have spiritual input. I don't know what your occupation is. If you're a truck driver, if you're a carpenter, the people you meet, every one of those deserve the light of Jesus Christ. And if we focus on these stumbling blocks and the irregularities of those people around us, we are not going to have a testimony for Jesus. Are we willing to give up our own rights? Jesus, again, as I brought out last night, Jesus came from heaven, humbled himself. And I believe we're called to be his humble servants. If you look at the lives of the disciples, every one of them gave their lives for the cause of the gospel, except for John. And he went through some tremendous lonely times on the Isle of Patmos. Tremendous. I'm sure there was depression. There was discouragement. What are the stumbling blocks? I think one of the biggest stumbling blocks for me is being offended at the circumstances in life. You know, a lot of these things I've looked at are maybe trivial. But I want to ask you, in your life, what are the things that keep you from giving God everything? One of the deepest things that ever happened to us as a couple, I don't know if I've shared, but, you know, we got married and I shared that I was soon a pastor. And, you know, of course, we would love to have children. And then we were unable to have children for some time and we did some medical work. And then my wife got pregnant and we were going to have a little boy. And then God took that little boy on Mother's Day of all days. That was not something natural. That was not weeds growing in the fence row. That was not a neighbor throwing a pipe in my field. But that was the God whom I trusted with my life. And I'm supposed to keep preaching and telling people about the love of God. And I can't fix this. My wife goes to bed every night crying for over a year. And I can't fix it. I'm a preacher. I can't say I'm angry with God. But I was. I don't know if I really knew that for a long time. But I remember being very frustrated. That was a stumbling block. That took me 3 or 4 years to recognize and actually thank God for the blessings that came through that. Later in life, our church had a church split. And I asked God, why? Who gets the glory out of that? And again, I wondered, where is God? I'm talking about some hard stuff. There are parents who have wayward children. And they say, God, why? Where is your power? I've shared this before in our church that I never doubted there was a God until probably 10 or 15 years ago. Going through some really hard things. I said, man, what if this is all imaginary? What if this is just something that the world has cooked up as a crutch? And I shared that with my grandmother about 3 months ago, and she could not understand. She said, well, Darl, you know there's a God. You know the... I said, I know, Grandma. I know that. I know all that stuff. I've preached it. But when you get so discouraged and you have faced certain things, you ask the question, had a pastor friend who shared with his congregation that he's not sure there is a God. That hit me really hard. But I'm here to tell you that those are stumbling blocks. It's the same as Satan came to Eve in the garden. Did God say, that's not what's going to happen? If you would only eat of that, your eyes would be opened and you would understand like God. He throws doubt in our mind. You know, I'm thankful that God has answered. You know, He has answered some of my prayers. You know, there's still things that I'm looking for answers. But we have to be grounded and rooted. But I'm asking you, are there stumbling blocks in your life that you feel distant from God, from the kingdom of heaven? Are there, maybe it's a wound from your childhood. Maybe, you know, as a young man, my father raised his voice occasionally. And that hurt deeply. And I said, if I'm ever a daddy, I'm not going to do that. But I can tell you, I have wounded, I have hurt my children. Are we willing to give up those stumbling blocks and allow Jesus to take them? I had to get to the place where I had to get back to the altar and say, God, I want to surrender everything again and allow you to be the King and the Lord of my life. And I guess I want to open that up tonight. I'm not going to bear long. But if there's a stumbling block in your life that's keeping you, if there's unforgiveness that's hindering your fruitfulness in the kingdom of God, I want to give you a chance to make that known and just confess it. Are we struggling with allowing God to take care of everything? When people throw trash in our life, when weeds come up, I could draw a picture of that tractor with bellyache. My tractor quit a couple months ago, and that's going to cost me. And I'm thinking, God, can't you keep that thing going? What's in your life? Are we willing to trust God with everything? Let's close our eyes. I'd just like to give you a chance to look into your heart just for a couple minutes here, a couple seconds. God, is there something that you're asking me to put back on the altar? Is there something that's stumbling me? Stumbling is when we trip. We're not as effective. Stumbling keeps us from being effective. And God wants us to be fruitful. God wants to bless us. Is there anything in your life? I don't know if you've ever had an altar call like this, but if there's a stumbling block that you want to get rid of, I just ask you to get up, go to the aisle, pick one of those blocks that's your size, bring it up here and place it on the platform. If there's something that you want to make a commitment to get rid of and allow God to work in your heart, just give you a couple minutes. Just get up, pick it up, bring it up here, and go back to your seat. You can just lay it right here. Just invite you to bring it. Just put it there and leave it on the altar for God to take care of. You know, as I was talking about that you want to put it over here with this block, and let's just build an altar right there, if that's what it amounts to. Talking about that purse that my mother had. You know, sometimes they weren't very big things, and that money turned out to be something she could use. And I believe that these offenses that God puts in our lives are things that we build on later in life. You know, we look at them and we think, how can I overcome this? What good is this in my heart? But I'll tell you, the offense, when I finally came to the place where I could thank God for taking my son on Mother's Day. Because you know what happened? Every year after that, we'd go to church, and we still can't have children. And all, you know, the messages and blessing mothers, and my wife is back there crying her eyes out, and everybody else is happy. And that hurt. But God showed me, He said, you're a deacon, and you need to work with people that are hurting. And I began to see so many people that were hurting. I was the biggest tease. I would tease single women like, when are you guys going to get married? Why don't you? I began to see that that is very hurtful. I began to understand that somebody with a miscarriage, it's more than just a miscarriage. It's a deep hurt. God began to use that to break me down and so I could be helpful to other people. And I just encourage you that if you think God has taken away something that belonged to you and you can't forgive God, get rid of it. Allow Him, allow it to be a stepping stone. Put it on the altar and take care of it. Is there anyone else? God wants to heal those deep places and use them for His kingdom. Peter was a man who was on fire for God, for Jesus. He was His disciple. He was outspoken. Yet we know that he denied Jesus three times. He said, I'll never deny you. And yet, when it got down to it, he denied Jesus three times. But Jesus healed that man. And he became a powerful man for God after he gave up, after he came back to Jesus. So those stumbling blocks are in our lives for a purpose. I've talked to people, many people, such deep hurts, valid hurts, but God uses that pain to reach out to others. Jesus raised up Lazarus from the dead. The ultimate healing, right? And yet he waited and disappointed Mary and Martha with deep grief. And yet we know after Jesus healed Lazarus that they were very blessed and their faith was strong. And I trust that those of you who have brought these blocks up here, I don't know, I don't need to know what the hurt is, what the offense was, but allow God to work in your hearts and to heal that area. I think we'll close the service, and I'd just like to encourage you to continue to leave it on the altar, and maybe after the service, if there's others who want to help bring all those up here, and let's make a stack of blocks here like an altar. You don't have to have a representation of something you're leaving here, but we'll leave it there for tomorrow night. Let's stand. I'd just like to pray for those who came forward. Father God, we stand before You tonight acknowledging that You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And You move, and You change things in our lives. You allow things to happen. We know that You are faithful, and yet the waters get muddied at times. There are hindrances that come, and as we have committed to walk with You and to be fruitful for You, it's not always an easy road. But You've called us to be Your servants and to spread Your word. And so if it comes through offenses and through hurts in our lives, I pray, Father, that you would help us to lay them on the altar and then allow you to heal us so that we can give this to others. As every man hath received the gift, let him so freely give. And Father, we just thank you in the name of Jesus that you are able to heal and to bless your people. You've come to heal the brokenhearted and those who are humble before you. And we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.